Hey there, everybody. You are listening to The Show So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
And you're listening to us on WVEWLP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. You are also listening to us on clickclickexpose.com. And we are also broadcasting with pride worldwide on QNation.fm. That's our spiel. A lot going on. So, to update you, probably one of the biggest stories of the week was...
is that it's ridiculously hot.
It's very hot.
It's too hot.
But that's not a national story. That might just be here in Brattleboro, Vermont.
Locally, it is very hot.
But it is hot politically in Malawi, where unfortunately the update from last week's story was that that couple was indeed sentenced to 14 years in prison.
Which was the maximum sentence.
It was the maximum
for
sentence.
For being gay.
Yeah. Stephen Monjeza and Tiwange Chibalanga, who are the Malawi couple sentenced to 14 years in prison for holding a public engagement ceremony. Now the latest news is that they've been placed in separate prisons after spending months in the same facility. According to CNN International, Monjeza was moved from the facility where they were arrested. I think people didn't understand this. This didn't just happen. They were arrested back in December.
Yeah.
So this has been going on for quite some time. And CNN International said, quote, it was not clear why Stephen Monjeza was moved from Chichiri Prison, where he had been serving time with his partner, Tiwange Chibalanga. And the question that people have is, all right, what can we do? We can write letters.
Yep.
There's not a lot we can do.
No.
There's not a lot we can do. We're not...
change the world.
Change the world. We're not charging into Malawi. So... unfortunately, folks,
we could totally take them with our gay military.
Yeah, we received... we're working on that. We received a lovely email this week just about the Malawi story from a listener out in Ohio who didn't actually hear about that story and want to know what should we do. And so we say to you, listener, we're not actually sure. I assume write to Amnesty International and talk to your local representative, but we don't have a lot of stake in Malawi right now, so I'm not sure that we're charging in to Malawi to help out this couple. Very sad. Very sad.
Yes.
In slightly happier news, but it's actually only slightly, because we've covered this story. This might actually be this. I know it's the second. It could be the third time we've covered this. For the ninth time, that would be nine. For the ninth time since 2002, the New York State Assembly passed the Dignity for All Students Act, which is DASA, which I actually is in my dissertation, which would, if it passed the entire Congress,
probably make your whole dissertation outdated.
That would
passed,
be amazing.
Right?
I long for when my dissertation is outdated. But the DASA would protect youths from anti-gay bullying and discrimination in schools. The measure passed the Democratic-controlled chamber with a strong bipartisan majority, according to a news release from Assemblymember Daniel O'Donnell, Rosie's brother, the gay member who sponsored the bill. Implementation of DASA could help New York State in the competition to win federal election funding. And this was the quote from O'Donnell, quote, recently, the New York Civil Liberties Union championed the measure and released its analysis that enacting DASA could boost New York's race to the top score by 7 to 15 points. DASA requires reporting on all bullying incidents, which meets the U.S. Department of Education's emphasis on capturing data that impacts student achievement. A successful application in this second round could net New York up to $700 million in education funding. That's great, but the problem is that the bill now moves to the closely divided Senate, where it has languished for 9 years.
Lame.
It's so lame.
That's my official take on it.
No, I honestly, it's perhaps not the most academic deconstruction of what's going on there in New York.
But it's lame.
It is. It's just flat out lame. So
that's my academic deconstruction of
we,
it.
We
it
actually
really
have,
is.
It's we the broadest base of our listeners are actually in New York. So New York listeners, you must
yelling and screaming for gosh sake.
You have to write to your representatives because this, particularly to your senators, because this is ridiculous. It's nine times. Thank you, House, for continuing to pass it over and over and over. Senate. As Becca
Bad.
Would say, you are
lame.
So, to you, we give a musical shout out, and we'll go from there. This is a song called Where Does the Good Go This is
not
the first time.
New York. New Yorkers, pull it together.
We're hoping. This is our first time playing Tegan and Sarah. We've never played Tegan and Sarah on the show before. It's very exciting. I don't think we have.
Wow.
I don't know. Let's just say we haven't because it makes me right. This is Where Does the Good Go by Tegan and Sarah.
Where do you go with your broken heart and soul? And what do you do with the leftover you? And how do you know when to let go? Where does the good go? Where does the good go? Look me in the eye and tell me you don't find me attractive. Look me in the heart and tell me you won't go. Look me in the eye and promise no love's like I love. Look me in the heart and I'm break broken. It won't happen. It's love, believes, and embrace. You see love always. Thinking you would be real and be in the face. Broken, calm. Where's the good go? Where's the good go? Where do you go when you're low? It's up for grabs now that you're on your way down. Where does the good go? Where does the good go?
Yeah.
That was good. That was a good song. I don't know Tegan and Sarah very well.
And I did.
And you did,
and
yes.
And I feel so proud.
We should take this opportunity to point out that Becca knew something about pop culture that I didn't.
Gold star for
this
me.
This is our 80th
it's a first.
Show, and I feel that we need to take the time to recognize that. So good job, Becca.
Thank you.
Send her a congratulatory e-card over at thisshowissogay@AOL.
Please. Because seriously, this is the first time I've got one over on Ken.
It was good. All right. So this is a story about, did you read about this prom queen? This guy who was declared prom queen and kind of what a rough time he's having.
No. Did he want to be declared prom?
He did.
Okay.
And so I'm going to read a little bit of the story because it's quite an unbelievable story. Prom queen Omar Bonilla may have won big, and this is from, sorry, I should say 365gay.com. I don't always credit our authors. We have to do that.
Yes, we do.
Prom queen Omar Bonilla may have won big at this year's Pride Line Youth Services gay prom, but he lost something as well, Becca, his home.
Oh.
According to the Miami Herald.
Are we still here? We're still here.
Miami. In Miami, no
less.
Don't
make me come down there, Miami.
To Miami. Oh my God, I would love to go to Miami.
I am
but not
down
for
there.
This reason. According to the Miami Herald, Bonilla says he can no longer live at home after attending a high school prom and drag. So last month, Omar ran for prom queen at Flanagan High in Pembroke Pines, Florida. He ranked among the top three contenders. The school then suspended him on what some contend is a trumped-up charge, and he was barred from the dance. School officials informed Bonilla that he could not wear a blue sequin gown to the prom.
He should have worn a red one.
You think it was? It might.
I think
the
if
color.
They banned the blue, then it was you the just go with color. Red. Come on now.
There you go. After Bonilla's story gained national attention in print and online media, Pride Lines invited him to the organization's gay prom. He won the prom queen title, dressed in drag as his alter ego, Allison Rodriguez. Okay, that could be a better name. We want a better drag name for him.
Yeah.
But Allison Rodriguez is fine, too. And he said, quote, I was really happy about it. I always wanted
Listen,
to win
this
for prom queen.
This was a last-minute thing. He didn't have time to plan
come up with a name.
Drag name.
But he could have gone to one of those little sites that tells you your drag name. But sure, that's fine. Quote, I'm going to read it again. Bonilla said, I was really happy about it. I always wanted to win for prom queen. I felt accepted in many ways. While many may have accepted Bonilla's win, his parents did not. According to Omar, they told him to turn in his keys and leave home. The 19-year-old anticipates that he will live with relatives. His parents could not be reached for comment, the Miami Herald said. Miami. Not good. Not good.
Have you been to those sites, Ken?
Which ones?
What's your drag name?
I have not. What's the theory? It's your dog's name and your street address?
I think that's the porn name.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what's your porn name?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Well, what was your first pet's name?
Strawberry.
Oh, this is good. And what was your street's? It's already good. And your street name that you grew up on?
Columbia.
Strawberry Columbia.
I guess that one's not so bad.
That's really
good. What about
good.
You, first pet?
Well, my porn name then would be Spike Valley View.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Yeah, ours are
Spike
bad.
Valley View Terrace, no less.
Wow.
I feel the terrace
It'd
is important.
Like Strawberry so what, Columbia Drive.
What's the drag name? I don't remember how to make your drag name.
I don't know. Someone needs to write us or
Someone
call
write us.
Immediately.
This show is so gay at AOL.com. Please let us know.
246-6107. Quick.
We haven't taken a call in a while.
We haven't.
Oh,
well,
hey,
aside
guys,
from people we're interviewing.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, if you're listening right now, give us a call. 802-246-6107. We'll take your call. We'll hear what's going on with you, what's gay in your world, what you want to talk about, and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
That's very exciting.
We'll talk to straight people, too.
We do. No, we just, hey, straight people can tell
just
us what's
for the
gay
record.
In their world. They can tell us what's gay in their world. And I guess we should talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Again.
So the four members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff have expressed their opposition to the compromise proposed to end Don't Ask, Don't Tell to members of Congress. Each of the military leaders have expressed their apprehension over rescinding the ban on gays and lesbians serving openly in the armed services. The letters come in response to a deal that was struck on Monday to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, a vote which is expected tomorrow, Thursday.
Yes, but for once they didn't respect our Wednesday time
slot. I know. These
I
things
know.
Are supposed
Usually
to happen on Wednesday.
They do.
The deal has the support of President Obama, Defense Secretary Robert Gates, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Admiral Michael Mullen. Now, did you read that President Obama was talking? He was doing some fundraiser, I think it was, and Barbara Boxer fundraiser last night. And this guy, Kip Williams, who is a co-founder of the gay rights group Get Equal, was arrested because he heckled President Obama. And it was very interesting because
How did he heckle?
Well, he heckled him about, I think he said, you need to move faster on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And the articles were about, I think his quotes were, I saw how mad President Obama looked. And, oh, actually, here it is. According to the blog Pam's House Blend, which is, have you read this?
Yeah.
Hers. That's a great blog.
It's a great blog.
He told a journalist, quote, I was arrested, cited, and released, disturbing the peace. It was the first time I've done something like that by myself. I was close enough to see Obama's face. I worked so hard on his campaign, and I still believe in him, and I support him, and I wish I didn't have to have that exchange with him. And I saw the anger on his face when I started speaking, but I'm angry too, and I can't be silent. I actually watched the clip over and over. I mean, it's a really short clip. He didn't look angry. President Obama didn't look angry. First of all, I think he's used to people heckling him. I think he's used to people saying worse things than that. And his response, President Obama's response, was pretty good. He said if he wants to demonstrate, he should try to buy a ticket to a guy who doesn't support his point of view, and then you can yell as much as you want to there. And he just kept saying, I'm working with Congress, guy. I'm working with Congress, man. You got to understand that it's Congress, and it takes a while. I thought he was pretty laid back. He didn't look angry at all. So, he might have been angry.
But this is his thing. I mean,
he's cool. He's cool.
He's cool under pressure, and, you know, he isn't going to give something back to a situation like that. He's going to play it cool, and he's going to try to understand what's going on, and I don't know. There are a lot of fire trucks here right now. I've got to acknowledge the fact that there are a lot of...
And then I realized that when we said, please call us at 802-246-6107, all the fire trucks just showed up outside the WVEW window.
I feel like we have music to go to.
I'm sure everything
While we make sure we're not burning
fine.
Down.
Yeah, so this is a song called
Community Radio, everybody. Community Radio.
This is a song called About a Girl. Let's hope the girl is not
escapes the burning building.
Here she goes. Loving these songs tonight.
Me too.
This was About a Girl by a group called The Academy Is. That's fun stuff. Right in nearby Massachusetts for the second time in 3 weeks. And yes, the fire truck's still right outside.
Still right
outside.
We don't
know what's going on. But we'll get an update.
But it's not our building.
It's not us. We would stay.
They seem to be on top of it.
Wait, if they came and said, you have to evacuate the building.
What would you take?
Oh, no. I was going to say, we're not leaving. We have to finish the damn show.
Oh, I'm out of here.
Come on.
I'm sorry. The show must go on long term.
Commitment.
Long term, Ken.
For the second time in 3 weeks, a federal judge in Boston heard arguments in a lawsuit that asked the court to strike down a significant part of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, the artist formerly known as DOMA. In the Commonwealth of Massachusetts versus Health and Human Services, U.S. District Judge Joseph Tauro is considering whether the federal government's definition of marriage violates state sovereignty when it comes to marriage licensing. I don't know. Wait, do you think, we haven't talked about this in a while, do you think marriage is a state issue or a federal issue? State or federal?
Right now, state issue.
What do you want it to be?
I think that...
State or federal?
I think that all the states need to get together and figure it out.
That seems federal.
I don't think it technically should be federal. Oh. I don't. I mean, I would love for there to be a federal decision that made it all great, but I don't think technically it is a federal issue.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. I'm not
that,
sure either.
That hurts a little to say, but well, I wish that we could get marriage in every state, like immediately.
Did you just propose to me again?
I know.
It's like a weekly thing on
Ken,
this show.
Ken, we could get married in any state we wanted. Isn't that messed up?
No, we're both gay.
I know. I'm not saying it would be a good idea. I'm just saying we could.
I want to do a weekly segment, and I've said this for weeks, where I just read some headlines on theadvocate.com and just say how they don't go together, because today was another kicker. Although this at least was a gay
Ken,
thing.
They're on our side.
No, I love The Advocate.
I know, but still. They
so
do.
This was...
I did see that today.
Which one? The Twilight one?
No, what's the Twilight one?
Oh, well, this was right before it says, Chiefs wary on Don't Ask, Don't Tell compromise, which we just talked about. The article is, Twilight gets gay porn spoof. And this is the article. This is the entirety of the article. I'm going to read you all the article.
Wait, give the author...
The author is advocate.com editors... I mean, they didn't even put their name on this.
I wouldn't either.
I'm just saying. This is the article. And the trend of gay porn spoofing popular movies continues. I'm adding my own inflection. Twilight gets the gay porn treatment with Twinklight, which looks a bit more like the gay TV series The Lair than a Twilight spoof. In the trailer, young gay men are kissing, having sex, and biting each other's neck until blood comes oozing out. Watch the trailer here. Not suitable for work. And if you want to go to the next article, you can read about how gay people can't serve openly in the United States military. I don't know. I guess I should come down off my high horse, because at least this one was gay themed and not, hey, the guy from Twilight who isn't gay is doing an underwear shoot. So that's
look,
better.
I don't think this is all that complicated. I really don't.
What do you mean?
Gay people are people. The end.
Right.
Let's not beat them or kill them. Yeah. We probably should let them get married.
But I go to advocate.com to get my gay stories.
And it's not really radical to teach kids that sometimes men fall in love with men and women fall in love with women, or they sleep together and they're not in love. That happens. Sorry. It's true.
It's true. Hey, you should not work. I know you're considering working just generally. And so you should not work for ExxonMobil. Because ExxonMobil, and we could take you, ExxonMobil. You're going down. This show is so gay, says so.
Ken.
Sorry.
Schneck.
ExxonMobil. We could take
them. What's your address, Ken?
That would be
please
this
direct.
Show is so gay at AOL.com. ExxonMobil, they are looking to be moving further away from adding sexual orientation to their company's non-discrimination policy. Only 22% of shareholders voted in favor of amending the non-discrimination policy at this year's annual meeting. Though, positive side, yay that they were trying. In 2009, though, 40% supported the addition. So from last year to this year, we're down 18%. The company is one of the few ranked by the Human Rights Campaign with a score of zero. That would be a big fat goose egg for you, ExxonMobil. You're going down. Before the merging of the two oil companies, Mobil had a gay-inclusive non-discrimination policy and domestic partner benefits. Isn't that interesting? So Mobil was fine.
You know what? It's so funny because I was just thinking the other day that, like, since the Gulf oil disaster,
yes,
you know, like, my parents have not supported Exxon or Mobil since, you know, the last giant
this
oil
spill. Another reason.
And so I have just kind of gone along with that, and I haven't supported them. And now I was kind of thinking, like, maybe I could start buying gas from them because really BP is worse.
Yeah.
But now...
No, they don't like the gays.
Now I've got a problem.
They don't like the gays. And they
Where
like the
gays.
Where
can I buy my gasoline for my little... Putt-putt-mobile.
Can't you just use, like, sunflower oil
I need
or something
to,
like that?
Yeah, I should convert my car. There's got to be some hippie way to do that.
There are guides
Come
on the
internet. Come on, it's
interweb.
Brattleboro.
Yes.
Somebody, quick,
you
send me a link.
You could yell out to one of those firemen. Quick. Or fire people. We don't know that they're men.
Well, they're men. I just looked out there.
Okay. Well, I was trying to be gender inclusive.
I mean, I don't think... I mean, there might be a woman out there, and I just didn't see her.
By the way, there's this story, and I hope my parents aren't listening. There's this story on theadvocate.com.
Hey, Ken's parents!
Yeah, I don't think they're listening, but I also don't think they're on advocate.com, but there's a story about from Mariana Van Zeller, who's this journalist, who just did this whole report for Current TV, which is a station, all about Uganda. And the question was, is Uganda as bad as they say? And what she found out was, yes.
Yes, and worse.
And worse. And Ken's going there in a couple weeks. Okay, we are going to play a song called About You Now. This is dedicated to all our many listeners in Uganda. Here we go.
Maybe I'm wrong, you decide. Should have been strong, yeah, I lied. Nobody gets me like you. Hold of you then. How could I know what you meant? There was nothing to compare to. There's a mountain between us, but there's one thing I'm sure of, that I know how I feel about you. Can we bring yesterday back around? 'Cause I know that it takes one more chance. Don't let our last kiss be our last. I'm out of my mind just to show you. I know everything changes. I don't care where it takes us, 'cause I know how I feel about you. Can we bring yesterday back around? 'Cause I know be without.
Such a tween. I feel like a tween right now.
Yeah, you
just
are.
Just want to put that out there. All right, you ready to welcome a guest?
I am so ready.
Guest, are you ready to be welcomed?
I'm ready.
That's a good
thing.
Frank Anthony Polito is a Brooklyn-based actor and playwright on TV. He's been on Spin City, The Sopranos, One Life to Live. He's been in off-Broadway shows. He played the role of James in the Washington, D.C. premiere of Corpus Christi, one of my favorite plays by Terrence McNally. In 2008, he published Band Fags, and then in 2009... he published Drama Queers, which I just finished reading, and Drama Queers is a finalist for the Lambda Literary Award in the category of Best Gay Romance, which we're going to talk about. Frank Anthony Polito, welcome to this show, It's So Gay.
Thank you so much.
How are you?
Oh, I'm feeling pretty gay.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. All right, let's talk. We got to dive right in. I have so much I want to talk with you about. The Lambda Literary Award, that's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, like... 24 hours from now, I'll be wasted and either crying in my beer or martini or whatever.
Okay.
Or I'll be, you know, pretty excited.
Crying in your champagne.
Yes. No, we're going to walk through that. We're going to walk through the process. First, let's go and tell everyone how you found out that you were nominated.
What happened was I woke up and I turned on my cell phone and there was a message from my publisher, and I was like, oh, why are they calling me? And then the message said, congratulations, you're a finalist for the Lambdas. And I was really excited because, you know, to be blunt, I did not make the finals last year for BAMFAG.
Okay.
And I was really, really, like, angry about it because everyone kept telling me, oh, your book is so good, and oh, you're going to win, and I was, you know, nominated because any book really can be nominated as long as your publisher is willing to, you know, nominate you and pay the the fee or the application fee. But I was really, like, so excited thinking that I was going to be a finalist and, you know, really hoping that I would win because I haven't won an award for my writing since I was voted Best English Student of the Class of 1988 in Hazeltucky, Michigan.
Nice.
Congratulations, belatedly.
They gave me a thesaurus.
Oh.
Do you still have it?
No. I do, actually. I'm looking at it. It's on my shelf.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I don't think I've ever actually used it.
Okay, don't change that story.
Well, what's another word for gay? Quick, look it up.
I can't reach it.
Oh,
what was
your chance?
What about the category? What about the category of best romance? Now, there's all these different categories, and we talked to Nick Bird a few weeks ago about he's in a whole different category, which is a category that I'm not sure if you wanted to be in, or how does it get placed? Are you okay with best gay romance?
Well, last year my book was in the debut category, and there were probably 20 or 25 other books in the category, and I noticed that the romance category only had maybe, you know, 8 or 10, nominees from the first round, and because this new book really is, the story is Will Boy Get Boy, I figured I would have a better chance being a finalist in the romance category.
So you went with the odds.
Yeah, and there's a lot of YA, and my book, it's about teenagers, but it's really not geared to young adults, per se.
Right.
So I really, you know, wanted to ensure that my chances of making the finals would be that much greater if I went into the gay romance category. And I think there's something sweet about the fact that it's a gay romance between teenage boys in the 80s, because, to my knowledge, those kind of relationships did not exist.
Right.
So it's sort of like the fantasy that they did or could have, and I think people are receptive to that aspect. And I checked out the other finalists. I haven't read any of their books, and I'm not really that familiar with them, but they're all, like, you know, gay men in their 20s and 30s and looking for love and contemporary, and so I'm kind of hoping that because mine's a little bit different, then maybe it will stand out.
And people should know, our listeners need to know, if I don't know how people wouldn't know this, the Lambda Literary Awards are a huge deal. This ceremony tomorrow night is not like some
piddly
small
little,
yeah, some
nothing.
Little shindig in the back corner of a bar. This is a major thing. Larry Kramer's going to be there. Kate Clinton's going to be there. This is a big deal.
Yeah, and now you're making me question my choices that I'm wearing.
What are you wearing?
You know, I was going to go with, like, jeans and a really tight T-shirt, so I look kind of hot. And then my boyfriend's like, you should probably wear a shirt and maybe even a tie.
I think this is a pinstripe pants night.
It kind of is.
I opted for plan B. I'm not going to wear a tie, but I'm going to wear a jacket.
All right, well, now let's do a little role playing. We're going to do it. Now, keep in mind, it's the radio, so our listeners, they can't see you, they can't see your expression, but let's do a little role playing so that you're not caught off guard. Two scenarios. Here we go.
Okay.
Scenario one, someone announces, and the winner for Best Gay Romance is Time After Time by J.P. Bowie.
And then I smile, and I applaud, and I smile. And I applaud. And then I wait for the camera, which there really isn't one, but to turn away from me. And then I slam back my drink.
Nice. All right.
I'm hoping that maybe, I know on the listings, the romance is sort of near the bottom, so maybe I won't have to sit there that much longer.
Okay.
I've always been a good sport about losing. I've always had this philosophy that, like, you know, if I lose, then that makes someone else feel better, and isn't that a really great thing?
How nice is that?
In this situation, I'm really like, you know, I want to be the winner.
And the winner for Best Romance is Drama Queers.
Oh, and then I smile, and then I do a who me, and I say...
You're so demure.
I honestly think it will be more difficult if I do win, because I have this thing where I try not to, like, show too much emotion or get too excited about things. You know, I would never be that person who gets up there and is like, oh my God, I don't have... And
you're not going to do the Price is Right thing?
Pull out the piece of paper and they're like, oh, I still wasn't expecting, you know. That's really not me. I have not prepared a speech, so I thought about getting up and saying that I haven't prepared a speech, so... I kind of have a speech.
Do you have a list of anybody like you don't want to forget? Well, like, that might be helpful to write down, because if you forget the boyfriend or something, or, you know.
Yeah, then you're Hilary Swank winning your Oscar.
Exactly.
And then
They're not together anymore.
So, you know, I suppose when you're up on a stage and the clock's ticking, a minute can be a long time. I know it's a long time when I'm at the gym and I have to do certain exercises, you know, for like a minute.
That's a while.
But, you know, I would start by thanking the Lambda Literary Awards for nominating me and everyone who voted, because that's, you know. Then I would probably congratulate all of the other nominees and say what an honor it is to be in a category with them, even though I don't know who any of them
are. I was just going to say, I hope they're not listening and heard how you have no idea who they are, but that was awesome.
I've researched them. I've read the synopsis. I do care.
You haven't read your competition?
That's okay.
Oh, man. I feel like I wouldn't be able to avoid it.
Sure. And then last but not least, I would thank my partner, who is also my publicist.
Look at that.
You know, because it's not who you know, but who sleeps next to you every night.
Oh.
You know, very simple.
All right. Well, we want you to win. I'm sure that J.P. Bowie is lovely, even though I don't know if J.P. Bowie is a male or female. I'm sure J.P. Bowie is lovely, but we want you to win, and we want Nick Bird to win.
Yes, did I may have mentioned to you that I actually met Nick Bird a few weeks ago, and I was like, have you met before? Because you look really familiar. And he was like, no, I don't think so. And in my mind, I kept picturing, like, gym shorts and green sneakers, and then I realized that I know him from my gym.
Of course.
Wow.
But I haven't seen him since, actually, and that's been about a month.
Now,
so
what,
I will be seeing him tomorrow night.
One of the things that we talked about with Nick, which we want to talk about with you as well, is, now, being nominated for a gay award is an award, and it's a fantastic thing, but some authors consider it to be, in some ways, a stigma to have their text considered to be, oh, well, it's a gay text, and it limits the marketability of the book, or it pigeonholes them in some way. How do you feel about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've worked in publishing before, and I've heard authors say, but it's not a gay novel, it's literary fiction. And to me, you know, I don't pretend that I've written, you know, a great work of fiction that's going to change the world, but I've, you know, received many emails and a few actual handwritten letters from people who have read my books and told me how much they've enjoyed them and how I've captured, you know, some of them have said, accused me of stealing their life story.
Nice.
You know, it's like, it's entertainment. It's the difference between, you know, an art film and a commercial film. And I figure as long as people read the books and they sell and people enjoy them, you know, call it gay, call it young adult, call it 80s, what, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't mind. And, okay. You know, like I said, I haven't won an award for anything in over 20 years, so I would be very honored to say that I won a Lambda Literary Award.
I think it's going to change
That's
tomorrow.
Awesome.
It's going to change tomorrow.
Yeah.
So.
But I have to ask a question about your book. Were there any long-term consequences to channeling the 80s? Like, have you started wearing neon or teasing your hair or anything? Like, has this just stuck with you in some way now?
Not really. I mean, to be honest, I remember the 80s more clearly and in more detail than I do the 2000s, you know, or college in the 90s. And
right.
I think it's just because, I think it's because when you're that age, 14, 15, and, you know, you haven't started drinking alcohol or, you know, doing other things that kill brain cells.
Your brain cells were still fully intact, is what you're saying.
And you just, things are so important. Look, I can tell you my seventh grade locker combination.
Nice.
And that is,
wow.
But I couldn't tell you the combination to the lock I use at the gym every day. Because I had to memorize that thing and say it over and over and over again, because God forbid I should forget it and not be able to get my books, and then I would be late for class, you know.
So what's your locker combination?
It was 29-36-9.
That is so good.
But then this bully who had the locker next to me decided to look over my shoulder one day and stole my locker comm, and then he broke into my locker, so then I had to get a new one, and I can't tell you what that new one
okay.
is. But I remember the first one was 29-36-9.
Wow. Well, now I have to ask you about a real-life situation that just happened to me about 6 minutes ago, because as we were playing music, I wandered over to the Facebook and saw that I had a friend request.
And I
started yelling, and Becca's like, what's going on? I was requested by someone who kind of was a bully to me in high school. And having just finished your book and just placing myself and having now all these high school flashbacks, it was kind of a weird confluence. Do I accept his friendship?
Well, you know, the thing, it's happened to me, and I always used to say, they'll be sorry. And I always had these visions, you know, I'm a storyteller and I'm an actor and I'm very dramatic, and I would create these scenarios where I would, you know, ignore them, or I would tell them, you know, where to stick it or what I feel. And then the way I look at it now is I'm like, if I can make their day by accepting their friend request on Facebook, you know, why not? And there's been a few of them that I've actually talked to, like at my class reunion, and it's like they don't even remember.
Like, do they offer contrition at all?
They apparently don't remember.
One guy that I always thought was really nice, I would, you know, if you would have asked me about him, I would have always said, oh, yeah, he was a really nice guy. And at my class reunion a year and a half ago, we were talking, and he said to me, I just have to ask you, was I ever mean to you in school? Because I don't remember. And I assured him that he was not.
Oh.
But I thought it was real, you know, he's like, oh, because I would have felt really terrible, you know, about it. And I thought it was really nice of him. But again, like I said, he was a nice guy. And the fact that he apologized for something that he never did, you know.
I kind of want to do that. I kind of want to write to this guy and say, yes, I mean, I'll accept his friendship, and then write him a message and say, hey, was I ever really mean to you in high school? And he'll say no. And I want to write back, well, you were, and it wasn't very nice. So,
oh,
all right,
unfriend him.
No. I am going to accept his friendship because tonight's guest has advised me, and I am going to accept his friendship.
I mean, are you going to send him a message saying
I don't know.
Anything?
We're going to do some lag time. We'll do some lag time. All right.
I mean, maybe he's like pumping
gas
now.
Request as like the bearing of the hatchet.
All right. I'm going to go with that. I will make it.
Oh, wow. Example. We're so evolved now in the 2010s.
I love it. Now, the fun part about talking with you, sir, is that your book just comes with discussion questions. It's like we don't even need to write any. Have you? Did you write
we don't
these
have
discussion
to work.
Questions?
Yeah, I actually did provide the discussion.
You did.
So
right.
Do you have all the answers?
Well, here we go. I want to ask you a couple. This is so fun because I read the book. I had a little bit of crush on the sophomore, which then made me feel weird. But let me ask you some of the questions. And I don't want to ruin any of the book for people, because people need to go purchase the book, Drama Queers. So let me ask you some that I don't think ruin. And it's question number one. In Drama Queers, Brad meets a lot of interesting characters along his journey. Who did you, Frank Anthony Polito, find to be the most memorable? Who was the most helpful to you? And who do you think gives the best advice? I'm most curious, who was the most helpful to you? And you wrote them.
Well, yeah, I wrote the book.
Yeah, that's why this is fun.
One of my favorite characters is Miss Peter.
Oh, I love Miss
Peter. For those of you who do not know, Miss Peter is a middle-aged gay man who becomes the main character, Brad's mentor at the gay bar, and, you know, shows him the ropes, and it's, he's a fun, larger-than-life character who wears espadrilles and, I believe, if I remember correctly, wears angel wings
on Valentine's Day.
And he's very bitter and sounds like a cross between B. Arthur and Brenda Vaccaro.
Yes.
And smokes way too many cigarettes. And he's actually based on a real-life person that I know who was a friend of my friend, who we also called Miss, but he had a different first name. And, you know, I feel like every young gay boy, especially in the 80s, or even now, you know, I watched RuPaul's Drag Race recently, and they were talking about their gay mothers and, or their drag mothers. And, you know, I think it's important, and it reminds me that, you know, how important it is to sort of be a mentor to these kids who are growing up questioning their sexuality and, you know, asking advice and teaching them from the mistakes you made by, you know, or I should say I made by living in the closet for way too many years and not enjoying myself.
Now, I would imagine that you have gay youth writing to you who have read the book and are thanking you.
Yeah, I did my first Skype conference call with a group of gay youth who live in Texas and it was really nice, you know, to know that, because like I said, it's not a YA book, but to know that kids today can read it and, you know, they're not lost by the fact that they don't know the 80s that well, or that they didn't live in the 80s, or that they might not get every reference. They're just really intrigued by, you know, the story of being a gay teen and learning a little bit about what it was like for my generation compared to theirs and how different it is or how similar. And
it's very accessible. It's very accessible. I am a child of the 80s, so there were parts where I was just... Every time...
Were you having flashbacks?
Well, the song titles were killing me. I was just like every... So for folks who haven't read it, and
did you wind up downloading music?
I did. There were some songs that I hadn't thought about in a while, and now they're right front and center on my iPod.
Nice.
So it was good stuff. It was good stuff. Now, we have to talk about the brouhaha, because there was a bit of a brouhaha on the Facebook with BanFags. Tell everyone about the brouhaha.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll tell you about it. But I actually just the other day opened up my email and there was a warning from Facebook and it said exact same thing. And I thought, oh no.
You gotta be kidding.
Here we go again. And then thankfully when I went to my BanFags and my Drama Queers pages, they were still intact. So basically what happened was about a month ago, 6 weeks ago, I got an email from Facebook saying that I had created a page that violated their policy. And at first I thought, oh no, it's my Mysteries of Pittsburgh film boycott, because Mysteries of Pittsburgh by Michael Chabon is my favorite book. And, you know, long story short, they made the movie and they changed the story and cut the gay character and ruined it. And I started a boycott and I put it on Facebook.
Nice.
And I thought, oh no, after 4 years I've been found out. And it turned out that they removed my BanFags page because apparently, you know, the word fag is offensive to some people. Though there were other pages like the Jonas Brothers are fags and let's kill our fag teacher and like all these real
offensive
hate pages.
Right.
That, you know, maybe they're in fun because it's fun to make fun of the Jonas Brothers or whatever. But I have this legitimate fan page, and I actually had fans on it who weren't my friends, who I didn't have a list of their names or know how to get in touch with them.
Right.
And I was like, how dare they say that my page is offensive when it's not? And I sent out a press release, and a good blogger who's also a friend of mine, Kenneth Walsh, Kenneth and the 212, picked it up, and then The Advocate picked it up from him, and then I spent like 2 days getting messages from people, and Instinct wrote something, and New York Press here in New York did, and I had this little 15 minutes of fame that I enjoyed, and my Amazon numbers went up.
Yay!
Books were selling. And then eventually the page was reinstated.
How does that even happen? I mean, I picture Facebook being some just faceless entity. How do you get it back? Like, who do you complain to?
I after searching for a way to contact them, because it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
There was a friend of mine sent me a thing that said, oh, look what I found. If your page has been removed, click here. And I clicked there and I sent a message. And then like a week later... And this was the worst of it. I had this guy who was like ready to write a story for the New York Times. And it wasn't really about me so much as the fact that what is offensive and why is the Jonas Brothers Are Fags page still there and why is mine not? And he was ready to write the story for the New York Times. And then Facebook sent me a message. Oh, we're sorry. Your page was erroneously deleted.
Their contrition came too early.
Yeah, it's reinstated now. And then the New York Times guy was like, oh, well, I guess the story is...
no story.
Done. And I was like, well, no, because it's not about me. It's about what is offensive and what's not. And on the Advocate thing, there were people commenting, and I would say that 90% of them were against me. 90% of them were like, well, he deserves to have his page removed. Yeah. Nobody should call anybody fag. That's mean.
I read that.
Well, did you think about the name? I mean, and how that might cause trouble for you?
I actually didn't at first. It was my editor's idea to go with it. I mean, the backstory is it was a play first.
Right.
And it actually had a different name. And then a filmmaker friend of mine read it and wanted to make it into a movie and thought Band Fags would be a good name, and that sort of stuck. But my whole thing is like, they're in band and they're fags.
Right.
And at my school, in the majority in the 80s, band fag was just an expression about someone who's in band. And yeah, sure, it's not a nice thing, and I certainly wouldn't encourage kids today to... call the kids in band fags. But what for me, and what people didn't understand who were against me, is when you are in band and you're gay and someone calls you a band fag, you don't hear the band part, you just hear the fag.
Right.
Right.
We had a kid in the band 2 years ahead of me. He was the homecoming king. He was a captain of wrestling. Very cute. Totally awesome bod. And he was a band fag and he was proud of it. But he was not gay, so he didn't like being called a band fag.
Right.
He didn't like people picking on him because he was in band.
But he had the social capital.
Yeah. It didn't have the same sting.
Right.
And a lot of people, I think I'm saying, they're band fags. And I'm saying, no, I'm the band fag, me, the protagonist, Jack.
Right.
People are calling, that's what they're calling me. And
I even read that one. I got it. That's what I have to read next. I feel like I'm reading them in the wrong order.
Yeah, well, I intentionally wrote them so that they could be read either way.
Oh, good.
In Drama Queers, you probably noticed that Jack is there, but not very much.
No, he's pretty absent.
Snippets of what's going on with him,
right,
through Brad. And there are actually some scenes that are in both books told from a different point of view, which I think are a lot of fun.
Okay.
Oh, that could add an extra dimension.
Yes, Band Fags is next for me. All right, we got to ask you about some music real quick, because it's part of the show, and I just think your musical selections are hilarious, and I kind of want to hear you talk about them. So this is a part of the show where we ask you, Frank Anthony Polito, what some of your song selections say about you. I will still contend this is our first time actually playing Tegan and Sarah, so it was really fun. What does Where Does the Good Go by Tegan and Sarah say about Frank Anthony Polito?
Look me in the eye and tell me you don't find me attractive.
There you go.
Well, they are twins.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm not a Gemini, but I sometimes feel like I have a split personality. And maybe when I look in the mirror sometimes, you know, I have to remind myself that I'm okay. Like that guy
See?
I met live years ago.
Oh, yeah, Stuart Smiley.
And I am attractive. And, you know, Stuart Smalley, was that his name?
Stuart, oh, yes, I think that was it. I said Smiley. Oh, Stuart Smalley.
Wow. You know, I'm okay, and I am attractive. And but really, I chose it because it's, they played it on this really awesome show called Being Erica, which they show on SoapNet.
Me too.
Total, like, 14-year-old girl when it comes to, like, TV watching. And so that's kind of why
See?
I like...
You got this down.
And yeah. I am fascinated by twins, actually.
Oh, okay.
You know, the idea of, like, somebody who is you, but they're, like, literally you. I always wished I had a twin. I grew up, I had a cousin who had a twin, but she died at birth, and I always felt terrible for my cousin because I thought it would have been so much fun to have two of them running around and the tricks you can play on your parents and your friends and your teachers.
There were no twins in Drama Queers. You need to add some twins in the next text.
No, there were no twins.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. All right, see, you did that well. We'll only make you do one of those. We'll only make you do one. So where should our listeners go to learn more about all the cool things you're doing?
Bandfags.com, which is all about bandfags. And then I have dramaqueers.net.
Okay.
Which is all about Drama Queers.
Nice.
And, you know, and then I'm on Facebook, and, you know, if you're listening and you've read my book or you read my books and or you just want to add more friends, feel free to look me up. I've recently started Twittering or tweeting.
Tweeting, yeah.
Wow.
So we can find you.
You can find me. I'm out there. You can Google me.
Do you answer your email?
I do.
See, he's one of the good ones.
I answer every email or message that I get. My biggest pet peeve is if I take the time to reach out to someone and they just cannot be bothered to get back to me, and I can't tell you how many people do that, and if you're one of those people and you're listening, shame on you.
Shame on you.
You know, the way I look at it, it's like if someone takes the time to, you know, spend money to buy my books and then the time to read the books and then the time to, like, put their thoughts down, who am I to not acknowledge them?
The important thing is that Frank Anthony Polito answers his emails.
That's right. And well, we do too. Well, Ken
oh, yes.
answers our emails because I'm too flighty.
Well, we are pulling for you tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to your Facebook status update to see how it went.
My horoscope the other day literally said something to the extent of, if you win, it's great, but if you lose, it's not about the award, it's about who you are inside or something like that.
Oh, all right. That's
so it was wishy-washy is what you're saying.
We love that. We love that. Well, all that said, we're pulling for you. We want you to win.
Are.
I loved reading the book. Thank you so much for putting the zeitgeist out there, because it's not just a book about characters that we care about, but it's also placing them in this just amazing context that's so vivid. And you do not have to be a child of the 80s to be able to access this. But at the same time, it's kind of fun if you are. It's kind of fun. So
yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. All the best. Love that.
Love
so
that.
So much fun. So much fun. Well, that actually brings us to the end of our happy little show here.
Absolutely.
So we have one more show, and then we are on summer hiatus. So next week, Reed Carey, who is the executive director of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. My gosh, if we're not going out on a big show, that's it. That's a big show to go out on. She is going to be calling in, and we will chat with her, and then we're going to go do some summery
things. Good
things
happen, and then we'll come back.
So that's it from our end, folks. Go do good things. Hope people celebrated Harvey Milk Day. If you didn't, it's not too late. Write a book. Look who won the Lambda Literary Awards. Just do something. So go do good things, folks. And remember, above all else, why be gay when you can be so gay?